Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast. We are live. No Ricky today, but we got Josh Tolley, and that's all that matters because we got Tolley in upstate New York looking good. The hair is fresh. It's flowing. He's all right. And we're like, okay, so let me give you guys the behind the scenes. A couple days beforehand, we talked. We're like, okay, are we going to be able to do a show? Last week, I couldn't because my son, who just turned 16, had his driver's test that day. And as a dad who drives him around everywhere for sporting events, I made sure he got his license. There was no show last week, but the guys were all ready for it. So we're here. Ricky's unavailable today. And we said, cool, we can still go because Tolley's ready to go. And we are here for you guys. So it's a Josh Tolley edition of the podcast today. Tolley, let me ask you this before we get going. You look so young. You look so fresh right now. That must mean the boys are back in school. The kids are gone, right?
Yeah, that's right. All the kids are back in school. I look fresh. Couple meetings today. No farming. Had a little rain, so I couldn't farm or climb up on a roof. So this is my A outfit with the hair done and everything.
All right. Okay. So you're a busy guy. You're a busy guy.
Oh, that's an understatement, Beto.
Now, what kind of meetings do you have as a farmer?
Well, they're not farm meetings. We're working on some stuff. We're working on some stuff here locally, and a couple different business opportunities. So now I go from farmer to businessman.
See,
I wear a bunch of hats. You should know that by now.
Yeah, this is what happens, people. You want to be diverse. You want to be multi-platform. Tolley went from just being a catcher and playing baseball, where he knows his routine, to every single week we talk to you, Tolley, there's something new we learn about you. That's why when Ricky was unveiled, you know, I got to talk to Tolley because I got to figure out exactly what this guy's all about. Because we know Ricky's life. He's got the new baby, beautiful Soleil, the little girl. So he's there. Your kids are a little bit older. And you got the farm. You got the travel ball team. You got the kids. You got your lessons. You got a bunch of different things. And then we learned today, you're a businessman. So we're doing all kinds of other stuff. I love that. I love that.
That's right. That's right. Multi-platform. You got to do it. Dive into it and see what sticks.
There we go. Love that. Oh, we have an update, though. Remember how last episode we talked about how you could have a team? We were going to find you a team to play in
Sweden.
Yeah. It wasn't in Sweden. The guy sent us a message. Oh, I didn't save it again. Damn it. But he listens to the podcast. It's in Scotland.
So even better.
Yeah. It's in Scotland. We can be William Wallace. You know, we can go up there and all kinds of other stuff. So the team is in Scotland. So if you want to play in Scotland, they are waiting for you, Tolley, to show up. All right? So thanks to everybody who's listening. And they love that story about maybe getting you to play in Italy or in Sweden or in Scotland. It doesn't matter. Tolley will still get going. And he can do business from overseas.
Yeah, it's all virtual now anyway, so this is perfect. Just kill like two birds with one stone.
Just like this podcast right here. Now, Tolley, here's a question I have for you. So we're going to get to the baseball talk. I know we don't necessarily get into the hardcore baseball talk or what's going on, but we're going to do it today because it's the last week of the season, and we're going to break it down for you. And next week, we'll also have another show where we're going to be breaking down baseball, not necessarily like MLB Network style or hardcore, like, oh, analytics style. No, it's just more of the story talk involved with it too. But this is the last week of the season. And I, as a reporter, when we'd be around there, I was covering the Dodgers, who were normally making a playoff run, or at the time I was covering the Angels, who were normally making a playoff run, and you can sense in the clubhouse what it's like when you're there. And then with the Angels, the last couple of years I was there, it was like, okay, final week of the season. Who were you guys? Because you guys all came up from Salt Lake. I have no idea what's going on. There's 45 different people in the clubhouse right now, and you the yin and yang of it. So I want to get into this one first. The final week of the season, when you know you're not going to the playoffs, when you know you're done, and what's it like going into that clubhouse when you know you've been eliminated and you're done?
Well, I think it's twofold. It depends who you're playing, number one. If you're playing meaningless games, it's hard to get amped up and get fired up. Now, a lot of guys, there's a lot of money in the industry, and a lot of guys are playing to finish strong, finish out their numbers, get what they can get going into the off season, which I think that's probably mainly the concept with everybody the last week of the season. If when you're playing meaningless games, rather. However, if you're in a situation like, let's use the Baltimore Orioles for an example, like they can play spoiler. They can ruin some dreams of a postseason run here for any team in the East. And I think that's what's unique about this time of the year is the teams that rise to the top and answer the bell the last week of the season, and the teams that have been in the hunt all year, and now it's game 162, and this is what it's come down to, and you got to beat the Baltimore Orioles, who have had just a dismal season, winning, I think, only 50 games. It turns into you as the team that's in the playoff hunt, you got to show up, and you got to go. You got to have the lion mentality, and the Orioles are having the same thing in their clubhouse, saying, let's do it. Let's ruin their dreams. And I've been on both ends of it.
Is that part of the conversation? Do you guys really do that? Like, hey, let's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there is nothing. This time of the year, when you've had a decent season, you know your playoff dreams are. Use the Mets as an example, right? I'm not familiar with the Mets schedule right now. I've been really focused on the AL East because I think that's where we're getting all the traction and all the, this is going to come down to the wire. But use the Mets for an example. They had a team that should have been in the playoffs. They've had a poor year overall. Not going to make the playoffs, but they are unbelievably talented. I guarantee you they are walking in those doors every day saying, let's crush somebody's dream. Let's six games. Let's go. Let's win all six and see what happens. Those are the conversations that happen. I mean, I've been part of many of them.
Now, so the Mets, I'm looking at their schedule right now. They have Miami for three and then Atlanta for three. So finish up the season.
So that's meaningless games.
Okay. Stick with that theme though. What about those meaningless games? You don't have a chance to crush somebody's playoff spots. What about they're just meaningless games, playing through the streak and just finishing it up? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, it unfortunately becomes a selfish mentality because now it turns into let me get my numbers. Let me get extra stolen bases. Try to go deep. You're at 9 homers. You want to get to 10, or you're at 19. You want to get to 20. Everybody's starting to try to finish up their goals that they had set for themselves. Which is a very dangerous model, but that is the thought process when it comes to a situation like that.
Now, as much as you say it's selfish, at the same time, everybody in the clubhouse knows, hey, it's business, right? Everybody knows that somebody's got bonus incentives in there.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing. That's actually a really cool topic because when you talk about like innings pitched, I've seen teams pull the plug on guys and not start them for their last start, right? Mm-hmm. Or not get, let's just say a reliever needed four more appearances or three more appearances over 6 days, he'll get two. Like I think the ownership groups would tend to say, no, that's not true, or GMs would say that. But like, shit, I don't buy that. There's no way. 100% they're looking at all that because, as you said, Beto, it's a stinking business. Now, everybody wants to get paid.
Were you ever in a clubhouse where a guy you knew had a big bonus coming up in the final day and he nailed it?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen. Normally, those are guys that have nailed it like early September, like a lot of the vesting options, meaning innings pitched or whatever, have already taken place. I've seen it the other way. I've seen it where a starter, if he had X amount of starts over the course of the season, would his next year's contract would vest, or they would owe him extra amount of money, or another year would be added on, whatever the structure of the deal was, and then they start him in the bullpen. Or they go a six man rotation. I've seen both.
What are you guys saying in the clubhouse?
Sucks to be that guy. I mean, what can you say? What can you say to the guy? Like, hey man, I feel for you. You should be in the rotation, but this is what it comes down to. Then I think there's a lot of legality stuff that goes on with filing grievances and all of that. Yeah. But I've seen it. I've seen it a handful of times, and it's a shitty conversation.
Yeah, those are something. As the media guys, you know who has bonuses coming up, and because you know a lot of times the agents might tell you like, hey, here's a little something to keep an eye on in early September, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, he got pulled after four innings.
Right.
It's not a quality start now. Like little things like that where – and it's never the teams that are winning. It's never it's always like say a team who – let's just say, for example, the Mets who are out of it already. All of a sudden it's, damn, wait, he's not going to start this game. He's not pitching this game. Oh, it's a save opportunity, but this guy's not in a save situation today.
Yeah. So to all of our fans that listen and watch, like you're 100% right. It does tend to happen with the teams that are losing, obviously, because the risk for reward, if you're winning, like at the end of the day, teams want to win games that are entering the playoff hunt. But the other teams are, I mean, they've mailed it. They've cashed in. They said, well, hell, we can't do anything anyways. So what does it matter?
You know, a Pittsburgh, an Arizona, two teams are at the bottom of the NL. And now I was a young reporter. I started noticing these things because guys would tell me like, hey, this kind of week, you pay attention to this stuff. And like, who's the salty vet? Because now in September, you get the guys who get called up from AAA or AA who are making their big league debut. And now that vet who needed another, say an outfielder who needed to play in 125 games, isn't going to play because they want to see the kids play. Like, I never really picked up on it until later on, and I'm like, oh, snap, this dude is pissed. Like, you would see
you would. So the dynamics will be a little different this year because there's 28-man roster in September. So they can't – like, I always remember that argument of, like, we would be playing meaningful games, and we would go play the Orioles, for an example. And we're trying to, like – I mean, we're fighting to get to the postseason, scratching and clawing – and they're freaking going matchups from inning 5 all the way to inning 9. And that was before the three batter rule, obviously. So it was like lefty, righty, righty, lefty, lefty, righty. And it was like, and guys that we had no history on, we didn't know anything about, guys, hell, they'd bring them up from like high A ball or double A and just raw, talented dudes. And we got guys getting beaned. And it's like, it's not worth it. As hard as it is for me to say, I think shrinking the rosters made a little bit of sense from that perspective.
Okay. Now, for example, your Blue Jays, who you play with, and I say your Blue Jays because it's a team you played with and you're paying attention to right now. And this is also something Ricky talks about in our group chat is, okay, they're battling, scratching and clawing, trying to get into the wild card spot. They get the Yankees for 3 right now. And then they get Baltimore. What's the incentive for Baltimore to do anything? So if you're a Yankees fan, you're like, wait a minute, we're going to play Toronto for 3, and then all of a sudden we finish up with Tampa. Tampa's already locked up the East. What incentive do they got to play anything?
Well, I tell you this. I think their incentive is to keep guys hot. I think you're going to see the bullpen get rest more than anything. But as a hitter, you have to play. Like, you can't just take 3 days off leading into the postseason, and now you have another couple days off. They're going to rest guys. Like, they'll probably give a couple guys a day off here and there. But I think their mindset is getting into the postseason. Yeah. Like, the Blue Jays have one of the hardest paths to get into this thing, I think. And I actually said that today on a radio show out of in Toronto, was you have to – this is a challenge. This is going to be a dogfight.
And right now, as we're recording this, the Blue Jays are one game behind Boston. So it's Tampa Bay wins the East. Yankees are probably going to get the first wild card. Boston is going to get – right, if it ended today, and then the Toronto would be a game back. And that's how much they've been battling back and forth, the scrap and everything else. And you're looking at Boston. What's Boston got? I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't pay attention to the East. What's Boston's schedule? They got
Baltimore tonight. Yeah.
And then Washington for three. Like,
yeah.
Wait, how? Why? Like, just the way it works. Like, ugh.
I know. I mean, I'm telling you, all eyes for these next 3 days are going to be up in Toronto. I don't know. It's interesting. The Yankees, I think the Yankees rotation is like Jameson Taillon, Cole, and Kluber versus Ryu, Berrios, and Robbie Ray. So, like, the thing about it is, I believe this, like, this time of the year comes down to pitching, comes down to bullpen. And if Ricky was on the show, I think he would second that, because – you could see games 12-10 tonight. Truly. I mean, I believe that. In Toronto, it could be an absolute slugfest.
That's what we need, though. I want to see that. Like, I will say,
everybody does.
This is the part of the year where you become, the casual fan becomes all locked in on it because of what's going on. I'm going to the Dodger game tonight. I didn't even know it was Urias bobblehead night, which if I had, I wouldn't have got the tickets, because that's 50,000 people and it's just too hard. But I wanted to go because it's the final week of the season and the Dodgers are in that spot where they're chasing. Like, I honestly thought the Dodgers were going to win the West. I thought the Giants would fade back. I give a lot of credit to the Giants is still going. And the group chat will make fun of me. I said last week after they lost that tough game against San Diego, like, oh, they're deflated. A little tongue in cheek, but I thought they would be. Those guys just answer back because they don't know no better. They don't know that they're supposed to, like, fade back, and they have a bunch of guys that you've never heard of. Whereas the Dodgers, like, they're the big bad Dodgers. We have the big payroll. We have this, and they're the ones chasing all season long. And I wanted to see that because I love watching games that matter this time of year compared to something like a July when they're playing Milwaukee. So the West out here is really interesting. And imagine, though, this is where I want to get into it, a playoff game, a one-game playoff. You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's all or nothing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what's the – fill me in on the West real quick. And this is kind of ignorant of me not to know. What is the West shape up right now? Obviously, the Giants at the top and then the Dodgers right below them. What's the split?
The Dodgers are two games back of today.
And they're playing – and who are they playing?
The Dodgers have San Diego, and then they finish up in Arizona. They have San Diego, and then they finish up with Milwaukee at home. So the Dodgers have six home games left. And then the Giants, who are winning the West right now, have Arizona and then San Diego at home. So both the Dodgers and the Giants are at home. And, you know, everybody's like, they should have finished up the Dodgers and the Giants last home stand of the season, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, right. Like, yeah, that old married couple that makes the standings, how do they know at the end of the year? I mean, that makes the schedule. How do they know at the end of the year who's going to be, you know, you don't expect the Giants to be the ones there winning the West. You know,
can I just say something about the Dodgers?
Please do.
I mean, let's just go around the infield and the outfield for that matter. Like, when you want to talk about let's start with the starting pitching. You want to talk about veteran horses that know what the hell to do in this time?
Yeah.
This is where these dudes are going to shine. I know most of them. I have a good relationship with most of them. These dudes, this is when they turn it on. And you know what? They might be sitting back saying, we're not worried about it. You know what? It would be nice to win the division. We don't have to play the one games. Stressful playoff playing game, probably against the Cardinals, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's the Cards.
Yeah, but it's like these dudes are so set up and they have such the calm mentality. I mean, you could hear, and I have to say this, like, just listening to some of the talk radio this morning out of Toronto, like the excitement is there, but you can also feel the anxiety. Granted, I'm not listening to Dodger talk radio, but I can just imagine it just being very calm. Nobody's worried. Ho-hum. These dudes are all right. They know what they're doing. Wait, hey, wasn't there a skid where these guys were like, everybody's like, oh, my God, blow this team up. They're terrible.
Yep.
Was there a time? There was a time early in the season, right?
Dodger fans are panic fans. Like, they were like, oh, what's going on here? And what's going on? In our group chat, your buddy Ace, who used to like the Dodgers, they're all nervous about them, everything else.
Anthony of Orange County.
Yeah, who went to a Padre game the other day instead of a Dodger game. but the I'm like, wait a minute, you got Scherzer for your game. Like, you have, as Kershaw as he is, he's not who he was, but he's still freaking Kershaw. It's like he'll get away to get going. Woody has been standing. And I'm like, if you look at the Giants rotation, am I scared of him? No. Like, in a series?
No.
Am I sounding like an arrogant LA person? Yes. But you've seen that this team has been there, done that. And then with the Dodgers, if they do get the wild card, they'll play St. Louis in a one-game playoff. The winner of that takes on the Giants in the first round. The only thing I don't like about the wild card is that you're going to punish the team who has the best record, who's going to get the wild card team with a team who has the Dodgers are going to end up with the second best record in the NL West, like in the NL.
Yeah.
Like, if it was up to me, I would do what they do in basketball, where they reseeded with the standings, where you don't automatically get the number two seed based off of your
record.
Like, I would say, I would rather have the wild card team be, or the fourth place team be Atlanta or in this case, it would be Atlanta, who has 72 losses.
Yeah, dude, they have like 85 wins or something. It's something. How many wins do they have?
Atlanta's 83-72 as of today.
Yeah, they're not even going to get to 90 wins. And I agree
with that. The Dodgers have 100.
Yeah, and they've got a shot to end up with 105 again. Like, I never thought about that theory, but I like it a lot better. I like the two wild card games. Oh, I was not on the roster, but I was in on one when we played Baltimore for a wild card playing game in 2016. And dude, you want to talk about every pitch, every catch, every stink, and everything matters.
Wait, which team were you on?
You can't. I was with the Blue Jays.
Okay.
You can't make one mistake. Not
that
one.
Was a wild card game?
It was a wild card game.
Oh, let's pull that up here. So you weren't on the roster for that game.
Right.
But you were in the clubhouse. You were working guys out. All right, here we go. Wild card day. Let's go, people. Let's hear story time with our businessman, Josh Tolley. Wild card day. You know it's one game, win or go home, all that stuff. What's it like walking into the clubhouse? Go.
Focus. Focus, focus, focus. We had a very focused team that year, and it was on a different level. Preparation, not that it changed. The routines were all the same, but we were always we were the loose group. But when it came to nut cutting time, we were focused. And watching, just kind of like sitting in my locker, watching from afar. The first couple hours, everybody's talking about this, talking about that. Because we had a unique ending to our season, meaning we played one game in Boston. That meant effectively where we're going to play this wild card game. If we won, we came back to Toronto. If we lost and Detroit lost, like, there's a lot of moving parts. So everybody was all excited for that game. But now getting into the nuts and bolts of the day, it was like guys went about their routine. There was no tomfoolery. It was all hands on deck. Everybody was locked in. And I have to tell you, like, I get goosebumps talking about it, because there was – I knew – like, I easy for me to say now. There was a very slim chance we were losing that game, just purely predicated on preparation and focus.
Yeah. Let me give you the background on that game. 2016 American League wild card game played in Toronto. Both teams finished the record of 89-73. The reason that the Blue Jays got to host that game, and this is when people say, oh, a game doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. It does. A game in July matters just as much as September, because the Blue Jays were able to host that game because they beat the Orioles in the season series 10-9. So if that was the tiebreaker to figure out who gets home field advantage and you're going to tell me 49,934 Toronto Blue Jay fans don't make a difference. They do. So it's a big difference playing in Toronto than playing in Camden Yards. And who do you guys have out there? Who do you guys have out there? You have a 5 o'clock Toronto time, which means people are ready to rock and roll. We've heard the stories of what goes on in Toronto. And, you know, Joey Bats has told us how it gets all crazy and it's all fun. But it was cool. It was cool. I remember watching that game. Now that I'm reading back in the details, and didn't Jose Bautista lead off with a home run? Like, he led off like the second inning. Bautista led off the second inning with a home run.
Joey Bats. And then, well, so this was the infamous game where Buck Showalter left Zach Britton in the bullpen.
Yep.
And we did not have – we had – I mean, Zach Britton was unhittable then. And I will never forget it. They brought it. Zach Britton is not warming up. We're watching Ubaldo Jimenez warm up. And we're watching Ubaldo have to go through the middle of our lineup. And it was like, what the hell is Buck drinking over there? I sat on the bench and I thought that to myself. Is this guy freaking bananas right now? And, of course, Eddie comes up and just hits a moonshot. Absolute moonshot. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Zach Britton was the 2016 American League Reliever of the Year. Their closer, and Ubaldo gives up a three-run bomb, walk-off bomb to Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah.
And just lit it up. 11th inning, man.
Clubhouse wasn't any fun after that.
No.
Oh, baby. No. Oh, we had so much fun, dude.
Yeah, you guys advanced to take on the Rangers. But now, okay, you win the one-game playoff, you celebrate, but, like, how is that? Like, because I'm okay. People get into it like, why do baseball players celebrate after every series? Why do they have champagne? I am thinking of, hell yeah, go for it, do it, because baseball is such a grind. Get after it. We're like, well, they don't do that in basketball. They don't do it in hockey. Who cares? Go for it, enjoy it, live it up, because it's such a stressful thing. Each series, it's like a relief, right?
Yeah, it is. People don't understand what 162 looks like. And when you are standing, when you're one step closer to the mountain, you deserve that. I believe. I mean, hell, listen, I think that's what we play for. That's what we live for. It is all about, though, how you come back with your focus after you do that. I mean, hell, we celebrated one year in Baltimore in 15, I think. We celebrated. We were in a doubleheader. We clinched game one. And then Gibby ran out all the bums in game two. So clearly I was playing in game two, and we celebrated again after game two. So it was like, it's exciting. And when you put this much work into a season, you deserve it. You truly do deserve what these fans get to see.
Yeah, and for those of you guys wondering, they don't party all night long. They go, they crack open the beers. And by the way, Budweiser is the official sponsor of Clubhouse Celebrations. It is a corporate thing. There's a reason that the only beers in the clubhouse are Budweiser or Bud Lights. I'm not joking. Yeah, it really is.
That's true.
And the champagne isn't really brought until later on. Like in the first round, the wild card game, or the division series, it's all beer. Maybe a couple bottles of champagne, but it's all beer. When you get the pennant, that's when the champagne comes out, because champagne is expensive. Like, see, I've learned the club is always giving you good information.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's funny. I never noticed that, because there's always a couple bottles of champagne, but it's always bottles of those plastic bottles of beer.
Yeah.
And then let me tell you what the burn is like. Mark Burley one time in 2015, Mark Burley said, "You're not JT, don't wear goggles." He said, "Feel the burn." That's what 162 is about. And I didn't do it. And my eyes hurt stinking for a month. But it was worth it. Probably was way worth it.
Bernie's messing with you, man. What the hell are you doing?
What a guy. I don't know. I did whatever Dad told me to do.
That too. No, yeah. Champagne sucks. And as a reporter, when you're in there interviewing guys, which is, now you think about it, we don't need to be in there, because the audio isn't going to be any good. And you're in there doing it. But it's cool to be part of that celebration. Not that you're celebrating with the team, but you get emotions. And for me as a radio guy, I was able to go and tell stories afterwards when I walked back into the press box. And I learned early on, always take a change of clothes, because you're going to get soaked because you're not friends with these guys, but they know you. And sometimes they want to be jerks about it and pour champagne on you, which is cool, but they do it in a fun way. They're not doing it Deion Sanders and Tim McCarver style. So they'll pour a little bit behind you, especially me knowing all the Latin guys. They're like, messing with you. But then you're like, wait a minute, I got to drive home in this. Like, all of a sudden, you have a shirt that's soaked in champagne. You get pulled over, like, have you been drinking? No.
No, sir. No, sir. No. Smells like booze in here.
Yeah. But the champagne, it's interesting. It's pretty cool to be in there because you see the guys celebrating and the emotion. Yeah. And you can just feel that relief of what's going on. Do you ever go in there and look around and be like, who are these people sometimes? Because the executives come down.
Oh, yeah. The analytics guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is the truth. You want to talk about everybody comes out of the woodworks when it's time to celebrate. It is unbelievable. That's actually a good point. I feel like that is something that should be addressed, truly. Like, everybody. I mean, I'm sure they all had, like, important roles throughout the whole season. But, like, stay upstairs and throw your own party. We're the product. We did all the shit, you know? What? Is that wrong? No, that's not wrong to say.
No, it's not wrong because...
I say, hey, listen, bring the GM and the AGMs. Yes. Bring those guys in there because, listen, they built this.
Yeah.
But, like, the guy, everybody from the office, like, no, you know what? Actually, you're not invited anymore.
Because there are people who you look around. And mind you, I haven't done a baseball celebration in a while. But you look around, you're like, wait a minute. As a reporter, you walk into a clubhouse every day, good or bad. Guys know what you wrote about them, what you didn't, or whatever is being said about you. So it's like you got to be you own up to it. Like, all right, yeah, I'm here. I said this or what? And you're looking around a celebration like, okay, is that somebody's wife? Okay, is that somebody's brother? Like, who are these guys? And you look, you're like, oh, you're wearing a shirt and tie, man.
Remember the guy? Hey, remember the guy that got fired in Houston?
Yeah.
Like, if that guy wasn't in the room, he would still be working.
Good point. Yes. Celebrations are interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, like, and some of those guys just don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Right? Like, they get put in those spots, and they're going nuts, right? It's like, okay.
There's a famous picture that only ran in the Spanish newspaper. 2002, when the Angels won the World Series, it ran in La Opinión, which is a Spanish newspaper here in Los Angeles. And I had like three copies of it because I saved it back then. That was before I was even a reporter. I just thought it was a badass picture. And it's a picture of Benji Gill in the Angel Clubhouse celebrating the World Series championship. And he's got a full-on bottle of tequila and he's like this.
And come on.
Yeah. And you see the tequila spirit in midair flying through, like just like that, like a famous picture like that, boom, coming through. And I've always wanted to have a print of it or something. And I'm like, damn, that's a bad. And I had three of it. It was front page of the sports section of the La Opinión, the new Spanish newspaper, because Benji Gil was the Mexican on the team. And they had it. And it's like, damn, whatever happened to that? I've tried doing Google images and nothing. It doesn't pop up. But I've always wanted it.
Is the newspaper still in?
It's still around. Active? Yeah, it's still around. But just
call them.
I don't know who they are.
Email them.
I don't know who
these cares.
People. But yeah,
send an email. I would help you, but
those are the kind of things that used to happen back then, right? Now it's like, okay, now it's become corporate. Now it's like legit, like you know, it's like okay, look, even the goggles are sponsored now.
Yeah, Oakley, right? I mean, I have so many Oakley goggles because that was the other thing is, I don't remember what year it was, but we had clinched or whatever. Had the goggles, and then we went somewhere else, and they gave you another pair. I mean, I must have a dozen ski goggles at my house just from celebrating three or four or five times.
They're not cheap either. They're a couple $100, those goggles.
Yeah.
And they
get used. And nobody, and everybody's just wearing them.
When Oakley goggles started popping up, I'm like, oh, here we go, because I'm a snowboarder. And I'm like, damn, those are expensive. Those are the $300 versions. Like, I would see some on the ground. I'm like, man, can I take them?
They smell bad and they start collecting mold if you don't take care of them.
It don't matter, man. I ain't paying $300 for goggles. You know me. If it's free, it's me.
Love your model, dude. Yeah.
We'll get into the clubhouse celebrations as the playoffs progress. But now, all right, let's get into our baseball breakdown. We'll start with the AL East. Totally. How do you see it? What do you like? What do you don't like?
I like the Yankees bullpen right now. I feel like they've really come to fruition. Clay Holmes, who they claimed from or traded for, I forget where he came from, but he's been lights out. Chad Green looks normal. They're going to get Loaisiga back, I think, tonight or tomorrow. And then Chappie is Chappie. Like, even though he's hit a bit of a skid, like, this guy's dominating. So I think I do like the Yankees bullpen. I don't like the Blue Jays' strength of, like, I don't like the Blue Jays' schedule. I think it can be a slippery slope for them. I mean, again, I think playing in tonight's game, if the Blue Jays win tonight, it changes the complexity of this a little bit. But I think if the Blue Jays want any shot at this, they got to take two or three. Have to win the series, period. And then Boston, I don't know. I feel like Boston's just kind of sitting in the weeds, and they're going to ambush everybody in the last couple games of the year.
Yeah, look at the standings right now. So Tampa Bay wins the East. The White Sox win the Central. Houston has the West. So the wild card are three teams from the AL East. The Yankees have a game up, Boston, and then Toronto is a game back. And, like, when you look at it, what's going on, what battles, like, this is why people celebrate after they get to the playoffs, because they're battling every single game, especially if you're in the AL East, and it's just a matter of situations. But, once again, Tolly, who the hell's on Tampa?
Kiermaier.
And?
I don't know.
How did he do
it? I'm with you. Every year. I think, honestly, you know what? I'm going to go off the cuff a little bit, and I think it's I don't think Kevin Cash gets enough love, truly. I mean, this dude has a pulse for his team. He has kind of like the Joe Maddon aura a little bit of like, whatever. Uh-huh. But I think he has a great – he's created an unbelievable culture. And people laugh at me, but when you create – in any work environment, for example, Beto, use your TV when you go on TV – I watch. Remind me of your partner there. What's his name?
Jim Hill.
I love when you guys get bantering back and forth and start like. But my point being is, you all created a culture amongst yourself that is entertaining to listen to. Kevin Cash does the same. He creates a no stress environment, an enjoyable environment to be at work, because it is a job after all.
Yeah.
And I think that's what eases everybody's mind. Like, you put me in a chair with Jim Hill, I'm sure I would get along wonderful with him.
Yeah.
I would have a couple things to navigate through from the operational standpoint, but like, he appears to make it very comfortable. And that's what I think Kevin Cash has done.
Eric Neander runs the Blue Jays.
He doesn't run the Blue Jays.
I mean, Rays. The Rays.
Yeah.
He's 38 years old. You know where he's from?
California.
No, totally. What city are you in?
Binghamton.
Oh, you're in Binghamton? Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were in Oneonta.
Oneonta. It's only an hour from me. That's where he's from. No shit.
Yep. He played baseball in Oneonta, New York. Started working for the Rays Baseball Information Solutions after graduating from Virginia Tech.
Wow. He's only 38. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah. He became the president of baseball operations in 2014. He's been doing it since he was 32, 33 years old.
I mean,
building that culture of guys of like, this is what I know we got to do, because they might not have the stability on the field, but they have the stability in the front office and finding guys. Yeah. But when you go play Tampa and you know that there's going to be more of your fans there, do the players even care?
No, they're so used to it. Everybody's so used to going to Tampa, knowing it's going to be a dungeony, shitty environment. And that's just what it is. I mean, that's what it is. It's dark. It's dungeony. It's like, I mean, the clubhouse guys were the best part of that whole building. Freaking Guy Gallagher and Tank and all those guys. Like, that's hell, that Mikey. I mean, I know I'm forgetting guys, but like that, those are the guys that, other than that, it was an awful place to play. It was terrible.
And they win.
Yeah, maybe that's why. But, hey, listen, you know where this all started? Andrew Friedman.
Yep.
100%. Being around Andrew a couple years ago, this dude has got it dialed in. And as great as Doc is and that coaching staff with the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman has set the example and set the culture for what it looks like. And they parallel one another, and that's why they both win, period.
And also, Farhan Zaidi in San Francisco, who was with Friedman of the Dodgers, now he's doing
great
that.
Great point.
I'm not trying to get too smart, but there was a story in the LA New York Times today about how baseball operations are completely different. How it used to be the GM, now he's the president of baseball operations, where people used to have a staff of 50, now they have 200 10 years later because of so many people in the analytics department or so many people in the research department, the sports medicine department, the sports psychology department, how these guys' roles have completely changed. And it started with when Epstein went from Boston to Chicago and changed things up around. It's just – I'll send you the link. It's pretty interesting to see.
Yes, I would love to read that.
It's you're no longer just a GM. It's you have to just – there's people who worry about what's on the field, and then there's people who worry about the think tank. It's an interesting world. Baseball, it's supposed to be easy, and everybody always says, oh, it's easy. Hit ball, but so many things have been behind the scenes. All right, Tony, so you like the East. That's the one to watch, right? Because obviously you're there, but it's the funnest one.
Yeah, it's easy for me to watch too, right? Like, it's hard for me to turn on a game at 10 o'clock at night and think I'm going to stay awake for it. But I think when we talk about the nuts and bolts of coming up in the stretch, that's the one to watch. These three games will be – after these three games with the Yankees, Blue Jays, we're going to know – that's going to shape itself out significantly more.
And we'll get into the playoff race next week when we know who's going where, what's going on. Next Tuesday, it'll be after the wild card, so we know who exactly is in. We can break down what happened with the Blue Jays, how they got in or they didn't. We'll break down what the Dodgers did, how they got in or they didn't, and all that other good stuff. So we'll keep it East Coast, West Coast, the Midwest. I ain't gonna lie.
I'll be in the Midwest next week.
What are you doing? Business.
Business. I am actually doing business. I am doing business, but I may go do some deer hunting while I'm there.
Deer hunting. So are you doing the show next week? Nope.
Yeah, I'll do the show. I'll fucking do it right from my iPhone.
Wait, you're gonna do it from the blind?
No, I'll be toast from hunting by then. I'll just do it from my iPhone. It'll be great. Even if I just come on for 20 minutes, I got to give the people what they want.
Yeah. As long as you're wearing your camo, we're all right.
I have a ghillie suit.
What's that?
A ghillie suit. It's a big, suit that goes around you and you can just like, you look like you're part of the earth. So you just lean up against a tree. So you don't have to climb in the tree. Because I don't really care for heights.
Oh, yes. You are definitely doing the show next week, for sure. Ricky and Hunter Tolley.
Hey, I'll have face paint.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got to get into it. We got to definitely get into it. What are you going to go hunting for?
White-tailed deer.
Okay. I don't know what that means. All right. Cool.
Just Google it.
Deer. All I heard was deer. All right. Now. Tolley, before we get going, because I know you got business meetings, we have a couple questions for you also. But what do you think of what happened with Cardgate?
Oh, yes. Kiermaier jacked the card? Yes. I was like, what are you talking about? Okay. Protect your shit, man. At the end of the day, you can't have it flying out. I can't blame Kiermaier. And I mean, I suppose I can't blame the Blue Jays for drilling the guy, but like at the end of the day, it's the Blue Jays' fault. Protect your stuff. And I always said this. I was always very skeptical going into ballparks. Now understand, when you go into an opening day of a season or opening series, right, you get a binder about that big, okay? And it has every stinking number and everything you can imagine. You know how many guys lock those up after games? Very few. I always was very cautious about locking mine up. I didn't need somebody coming in afterwards, jacking shit or taking photocopies of it. I was very cautious. And it goes to the same thing. Protect your stuff. You can't just have it flopping in your wristband or in your back pocket. Somebody's going to get their hands on it. Take care of your stuff. That's the moral of the story. Kiermaier did the right thing. I would have done the same exact thing. And if they hit me, it would have been one less 0-for-1.
One less 0 for. Hey, your on base percentage goes up.
Fucking right, it does.
Yeah. But what about them hitting them? You good or bad?
I mean, I'm kind of neutral on it. Like, I think it's a chicken shit move personally because the guy didn't do anything wrong. He threw the card. The card was laying on the floor. He picked it up and took it with him. Can't blame him. Well, you should have hit Alejandro Kirk. You shouldn't have hit him, right? It was Kirk's fault. It wasn't Kiermaier's fault.
So you would have picked it up and took it?
Oh, hell yeah. I would have copied it and everything else. I'd have given it to all my teammates.
And in 2021, every single thing is viewed because there's cameras everywhere for everything. Yeah. So you knew that you're going to get caught. So?
Protect your shit.
And it's and that's the thing. And it's the modern day baseball where it's not that they're stealing signs for a second. With the
now we're stealing cards.
They're stealing cards. Modern day baseball. This is a debate we had with Ricky the other day because Vernon Wells came out and tweeted like, "You don't need a card if you study and you know what's going on." And I was like, "I disagree, Ricky. Like, it's modern baseball. You should have a card. You know what's going on. It's going to help you out. Take advantage of it." And he went off on like, "No, you don't need a card. I'm not talking to you right now." He got all hot. He even threw the. How many games did you play in the big leagues card at me? So I'm like, ooh.
Wait, hold on. Do we know what the card actually was?
The sequences of how to pitch with somebody.
Oh, it was that card. Huh?
From what I heard.
So typically how it's been going is there's two cards, right? There's one that's in the wristband that is the sequencing portion of it. And then a lot of times there's a card in the back pocket with multiple signed sequences on it. Meaning when there's a man on second base, you tell the pitcher, hey, number three, and number three on the card might be outs plus one, let's call it, right? Or second sign, okay, to keep it simple. And then all of a sudden you want to change it, you hit them with one. And then that can change the sign. And then the pitcher has a card as well, and they match up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, listen, as far as the cards go, like I don't disagree with them. Like, you should study, but, like, at the end of the day, you can still study and still have a card.
Yeah, that was that's right. I'm going to wait until Ricky shows up next week when he can drop the
game plate. Right. You don't understand. When you're a catcher, the guys that stand on the mound or the guys that have never been in that position, you have so much information you have to know and remember. Dude, you draw a blank at times. When I drew a blank, I would just call a fastball down and away. You know, but now I have a card. It said this. So I don't know. I found benefit in it and I still studied. It didn't make me not study.
So Vernon Wells' tweet was, this whole thing is ridiculous. Here's an idea. Teach the game better and study the game better. Capital letters. You shouldn't need cards if you're a student of the game. Stop being robots and play the game. That was Vernon Wells' tweet.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. He's definitely not wrong. You should. And they should teach a game better. However, if you have it as a reminder, like, fuck, what the hell? If you can do it, why wouldn't you do it? Like, when you talk about looking for edges in the game, it's the same reason I would have stole the card, is to look for an edge. Same reason why I would wear a wristband. I would protect it, but I would also do it because there's a lot of shit, man. Anybody can go stand in the outfield. Anybody can go stand on the mound. Like, when you're in the nuts and bolts, the pitching coach doesn't bitch at the pitcher when there's a wrong pitch called. They go bitch at the catcher. So what the hell? We're all tired of getting bitched at. So he said, give us these wristbands. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah. And I'm saving all the commentary for when Ricky comes back in a couple of weeks. We'll take care
of it. I love it.
Now when you're deer hunting. We're going to wait for later on. All right, a couple questions for you. When can we see the Cabernet suit? We need a picture of the Cabernet suit.
Oh. It doesn't fit me anymore, but I can maybe put. I can. I'm not. Hey, next Derek, next week you get my. You're gonna get the ghillie suit next week. The following week I may come in with the Merlot Cabernet suit. It's a blend. It's a blend there. So yeah, we can. All right, they can make an appearance. I just might have to hang it behind me though.
There you go, Robert Robinson. Josh has internet. When is he going to broadcast from the house?
It's way better coming to the studio. I get a lunch in the town. I just take my time most of the time. But I don't know why. Everybody wants to see my house or something?
It's a farmhouse.
All right. Yeah, maybe one day I'll go in my man cave. You want the Gretzky jersey behind it or the Jeter jersey?
Oh, I'm sorry. There you go, aside. I know you don't have much time, but at home, because you have the boys and you have the kids and you have everything else. You have all boys?
No, I have two boys and a girl. My girl is in the middle.
Okay, so you have the three kids, two boys and a girl, lovely wife who's running her own Pilates studio. There's a lot of stuff going on in the Tully house, and you got to make sure you have your whiskey and bourbon at night. I want to know, what do you watch at night, Tully?
You know what? I don't watch a whole lot of TV. I have one TV that's like a real functioning TV, and then I have a smart TV that I can do YouTube TV, but I don't watch TV. Last night I did some work, threw on the Monday Night Football game. But other than that, I watch baseball.
Okay.
I'm not into it.
You don't watch any shows with your wife?
No, Ted Lasso we started watching, but then it was great. But like, dude, I'm exhausted. Freaking 9 o'clock, I'm done.
So how far are you on Ted Lasso? You caught up?
No, I have no idea where we're at here. Wait, how many seasons are there?
Two.
Yeah, so we're probably like halfway through the first season.
Oh, okay. We'll talk to you later about Ted Lasso. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. It makes you cry. Tears. You know, last week's episode was tough. It's football is life, but you want to be like a goal. Have you gotten to the part where you want to be like a goldfish?
Yeah, we passed that part. Yeah, that's great. The quotes are great. I've written some down in the event one day I ever manage, because I think some of his stuff is hilarious.
All right. Do you have a Netflix account?
Do I have a Netflix account? Yeah, I do.
Okay. There's a show I watched last night, and it reminded me of you, Tully. It's about hockey. The Danbury Trashers. This was a hockey team in 2004. An Italian dude who was part of the mob. Can you tell? He was running a trash business. He bought his team in Danbury, Connecticut for his son, who was 17 years old. And the son was running the team. And what did he do? He went in his first signing, Brett Gretzky, Wayne's little brother. He brought him. So when you brought up Gretzky, I was like, thought about that. They brought in a bunch of bruisers, and they would just fight everybody, beat the hell out of everybody. But turned out that the hockey team was doing the money laundering for the trash business.
I watched it.
Oh, did you watch it?
Freaking awesome, dude.
Right?
One of the best things. I was trying to think. I said, man, I've heard this story. Where have I heard this story? And I remember a kid I give lessons to, the father had told me about it. And, dude, I actually watched it. I was so captivated by it.
Right? It was Untold Crimes and Penalties. That's what it's called on Netflix. The Danbury Trashers, the bad boys of hockey, take orders from teenage son and an owner with mob ties and have a reputation for being violent, as they are good. Yeah, I was watching it last night. I was like, oh, let me just put it on after the football game. And I got hooked. And I'm watching the comparison between that and Tony Soprano. He got an autographed picture from James Gandolfini. He says, the real Tony Soprano.
I thought it was an awesome show.
Yeah. The kid's name is AJ. The Soprano character name is AJ. So I'm like, go back and forth. And for the kid's 10th birthday, he had The Rock and Triple H showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. That was sweet.
Yeah. So that was it. Untold Crimes and Penalties is on Netflix, about the hockey team in Danbury, Connecticut. And I was just thinking of Tully right there, because that just seems like something that happens on those small towns where the trashers come through. And everybody else. It was all right. I'm glad you did catch up to one thing.
That's about it, though.
One thing from this decade.
All right. Yeah, that's it. Don't ask any more questions about movies. That draws my limit.
All right, Tully. Good show today. We will talk to you next week. You're going to be somewhere in the Midwest in a blind. No, wait, not in a blind. You're going to be in a what?
Ghillie. In a ghillie suit.
I gotta Google this. A ghillie suit.
Yeah.
Do I even want to know what this looks like? Oh my fucking goodness.
Put it up. Come on. Give the people what they want.
Mind you, it's spelled Ghillie. I just Googled it right now. This is so, because I'm so from LA to city. And this is what pops up.
It's me, dude.
Not camo. It makes it look like you're part of the earth, like you're walking around. Oh my God. This is freaky, man.
Yeah. How sick is that?
They're $115, $120.
Yeah. Well, somebody's lending me theirs because I don't want to climb up in a tree.
What the hell is wrong with you?
How great is that?
Like, where do you – so many questions. I'll talk to you later about this.
Hey, wait. Hey, can we – once I get set up, you have to text me this weekend. Text me this weekend so I don't forget. But I'm going to send you one, and then we can get it yeah, that can be like a nice little promo video.
Oh, we will have that.
We could just do a quick little snip from hunting camp.
We could do so many things. I love that you're all into this.
All right.
I love that you're all into us. Gilly Atoli will be there next week for you guys. As always, rate, review, subscribe. And Green Eye Bandit, I will see you at Dodger Stadium tonight. I'm going to sit in the Loge level. Julio Urias bobblehead night. And next week when we talk to you, we'll talk about some baseball, playoff baseball. Ricky will be back. Hunter Toley will be here and will be there for you guys. Once again, another edition of Let's Go Ricky Roll with Josh Toley and the Gilly suit. Thanks, Toley.
Have fun. See ya.